Elsa.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
You know, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, pretty good. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead there. I apologize.
You did. It's okay. I think the thing that you're trying to get at is that it's a drinking day.
It's a Squire Select Day.
It's the most wonderful day in the world.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is Squire Select Day, man. We're excited about this, as always. And man, fun. It's, you know, the particular liquor that we're dealing with today, you and I both are not. You know, we don't know a lot about, so we kind of, you know, experimenting with a little bit.
We had to do our research.
We had to do our research.
Yeah.
And we're being very diligent about that.
Yes, we are. We are doing everything in our power to just research.
Dive in.
Just dive right in, head first, right into the deep end. And, you know, it's tough work, John David. You know, the good people out here in Country Squire Radio Land, they expect from us to come to a Squire Select, and they want to know that we know what we're talking about.
That's right.
We do the hard work, the hard labor of researching the various spirits that we have to talk about.
12-ounce curls, baby.
And we don't do it for us. We do it for y'all. You know
what I mean?
That's what it is. This is a service to the people. That's the way I see it right now.
Man, exciting time today. We were fired up about this.
No, man, it's going to be a good one. Of course, this is a Squire Select episode. And we're really, we are here in beautiful sunshiny Miami, which is appropriate for kind of the direction we're going in. I want to let the folks, I want to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit and share with them how this particular Squire Select came to be. Because, you know, generally speaking, we've got this kind of new system that we're doing this year. It's been a lot of fun. And we make plans in advance, thinking through, okay, we're going to be in such and such an area. We want to approach some of the topics that are right for the area that we're in to give us in the right headspace, the right mind, that sort of thing. And some episodes, they don't necessarily fit. I mean, they might, but
sure.
Like, you know, tobacco talk is just a universal standard, you know, like
right.
As long as we're in America, tobacco talk makes sense. We're fine
right.
From that standpoint.
Right.
But then you've got, you know, some of these other series, for example, like the Finer Things or like a Squire Select, where you want to try to maybe tailor it a little bit to the environment you're in. So originally, and understand that's not what we're going with this right now, but originally when you and I were thinking, okay, we're thinking Miami, what's the first drink that comes to mind? And the listeners are thinking about that. And then now you're going to say it is
a mojito for me. I think of a rum based fruity ish drink, sweet. That's just what I thought of.
And mojito is what, yeah, you input these flavor profiles or these concepts.
Right.
And then output comes mojito for you. You
know, what happened for me.
That was happened for you. I don't necessarily have, I guess, a specific one that came up for me. So I was like, you know, mojitos are great. I love mojitos. They're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful beverages.
Yeah.
Then we got here. And actually, even last night, we had a wonderful mojito.
When we went out, we had got a few cocktails, and they made us a delicious mojito. It was different from the ones I've had before. Kind of had like almost a berry essence to it.
Yeah,
it was good though.
Yeah, no, it was a unique place we were at. It was very, very good. But this morning, in the cold, unforgiving light of day, we realized that as we go to the local package store here in Miami, which is not what they call it, but that's what we call it.
Right.
We looked at, okay, if we're going to make a mojito, what do we need? And, you know, our whole philosophy this year with Squire Select is taking one spirit and then pairing it with a pipe tobacco and then turning that spirit into a cocktail and then pairing that with a pipe tobacco. And we ran into a problem, John David.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were doing this all backwards. We were thinking mojito, but the problem is, in order to make a mojito, there's only one, like, cocktail or one liquor that you can really use. And that's Bacardi. And
it's basically, I mean, just white rum, which that, you know, most white rums are not meant for sipping.
Yeah, sipping. Even, and this is embarrassing. We go in and then like, finally a dude comes up to us. We're like walking around the shop and he's like, you know, can I help? I'm not going to do the accent, but he's like, because it was so BA.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was
highly
legit.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
But anyway, the dude comes up and he asks if he can help us. And I tell him, I look at John David. I was like, can we be helped?
There's no help.
And so we explained to him, we're looking for something that we can use in a mojito that is also sippable. And he kind of was like, what?
He just kind of like pretended like maybe he had an answer there. And then he was finally like, you know, if you want to make a mojito, you really just need Bacardi.
You just need Bacardi. And so we're like, okay, we could go on two routes. Either we go basic or we go Miami.
Yeah.
And you know what we did? We went Miami.
We went Miami.
We had to go Miami, man. And so he actually recommended this really fine rum that we're about to be talking about now.
Yeah.
And we threw out the mojito out the window because we're like, to make this a mojito would be disrespectful. So we're doing a different kind of cocktail, which will become evident as we kind of dive into it. But I'm excited. John David, today we are pairing up pipe tobacco with Pampero Aniversario. Aniversario. No, wait, that's
Ron,
not right.
Ron Pampero Aniversario. It is a dark rum, and it is some kind of good.
A Venezuelan dark rum, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, quite aged. So help me out with this one, man. I'm really trying here. Anniversary?
Yeah, it's Aniversario.
And that's, I'm assuming, an anniversary?
I would think so.
Okay, just making sure. You know, I failed Spanish.
Right. We both failed English.
I was about to say, and I didn't exactly pass English.
Can't imagine that we had any luck with Spanish, yeah. So, dark rum, of course, Bo and I both, Bo more than me, but I just don't have, I'm not a big rum drinker. I'm not a, dark rum drinker. It's just not something that I typically pull for. But it felt right coming down here to South Florida and being, right here around the corner from South Beach and all these, glitzy part of town that we find ourselves in. And it just seemed like the right thing to do. And so we're trying rum today. Rum, of course, distilled from the sugarcane juice or molasses from sugarcane and sometimes aged in oak barrels. Rum's an interesting bird. It's one of those that, good ones you can drink straight. It's obviously well known for mixing as well. And, darker rums, you're starting to see more dark rums involved in cocktails. Like a dark and stormy I forget the different ones that are out there. But, so you are seeing it more and more. As a lot of
tiki drinks.
As a component there. Yeah. This particular rum, not incredibly expensive, the Ron Pampero Aniversario. We bought it today. Again, we're in downtown Miami, probably paying a little premium for it. So it was about $35. This is a bottle, from the research I can do, probably going to set you back, close to $28-$29 as far as the MSRP goes.
Not bad at all for the quality.
And for the quality, great. It's really tasty. Really, really, really good. So
I'm excited about this, man. So this is obviously, as we kind of laid out, like how we came about, purchasing and acquiring this bottle here.
Yeah.
It was not a company that I think either of us were familiar with, but
it's a Venezuelan rum.
It's a Venezuelan rum. Pampero was actually founded back in 1938. And interestingly enough, in 1991, most of the percentage of the company was actually sold to Guinness.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No, that's amazing.
We're sitting here enjoying this like Venezuelan rum, and then it's like all of a sudden Guinness pops up.
Let's talk about Peterson Pipes too. Yeah, right. it's like Irish. Yeah, it's just
Lane actually
Clash of Worlds, right? Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
And somehow it's distributed by STG. It's
right? Oh, wait a sec. Yeah, that's funny.
No, but I mean, like a highly, highly quality rum that we're sipping here. And can we talk about the bottle a little bit?
Yeah.
Because, one of the things that we always talk about is the way in which something presents itself. And
that's important to us. Yeah. It's important to the consumer.
Well, and more this time, I think, than most, this speaks to exactly our dilemma. We needed to find like a good quality rum to enjoy. And aside from getting the, aid of our friend at the shop, we were looking by and he gave us a couple of options. You came to this one because for one thing, you've got a beautiful kind of oval shaped bottle, a little bit kind of on the smaller side, but not at all a small bottle.
Kind of small and chunky. It's a rotund bottle.
That's right. You've got kind of pressed into the front of the bottle, kind of a wax seal with the Pampero kind of, I guess the man riding the horse, he's kind of like, riding a bucking Bronco, 1938, right there into the glass. They have a very ornate logo with a lot of kind of intricate details around the sides. It kind of evokes, what is, I'm trying to think of that era of like the conquistador and, you know what I'm talking about? The Conquistadorian era.
Yeah.
Our apologies to our Spanish listeners, by the way.
I know, right?
Yeah, with gold and yellows and whites and you know, kind of a nice red. There's a regalness, I think an authority that's kind of presented in the way that this bottle is here.
Yeah.
But to cap it all off, this was wrapped in like a nice leather sack, a quality leather sack.
It was a really cool leather pouch that it kind of came in.
Yeah.
It was kind of surprising. And it's, you know, a part of the experience too. It kind of, you know, like the old Crown Royal bag that the Crown Royal bottles
come in. No, my friend. This is like
It puts that to shame.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, this is really neat.
What does Canada know about bags anyway?
We cannot say anything about Canada. We cannot say anything about Canada for at least another month and a half.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Until next time.
Oh, man.
All right. Yep. Pampero Anniversario. Dadgummit. I'm trying, y'all.
You're doing okay. Ron Pampero. Ron Pampero Anniversario. Dark rum. And so
are some things that you're picking up from this?
Well, so you know, typically when we discuss tasting notes on things like liquor, you know, spirits, but also, you know, pipe tobacco and cigars as well, we think about kind of the initial smell, the palate, and then the finish. And on the nose of this is a very aromatic rum, wouldn't you say, Bo?
Oh, extremely.
I mean, this is something that it's like a very heavily cased pipe tobacco. When you open up the bottle and pour, you know, a dram into a glass, you can smell it from across the room. It is very, it smells great.
As soon as I uncorked it, I mean, you heard me. I was like, whoa. I mean, like that was just instantly like hit, like, man, what, this is something special. Like that was the feeling of like, this is something
special. Yeah.
We kind of just talked about like the bottle and the way it presents itself.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you and I, it's been a topic of conversation our entire trip in Miami, is trying to discern what's just trying to like make a show versus what is actually legit underneath the show.
That's true. Yeah.
This is the show,
but also has the chops to back it up.
Exactly. You know? Like, this is Instagrammable, but does that mean it's good?
Right.
And this right here, as soon as I popped that bad boy open, it was like, oh no, this is something special.
Yeah.
Like it is as special as it presents itself.
No, I think you're right. The aroma is really, really special. You get molasses and a deep warm chocolate here that's very, very apparent. Cocoa butter, creamy vanilla with a little bit of spice. You know, there's a grassy spiciness that's there that's, you know, very pleasing. And so it's that kind of nice tingle you get with a good rum that leaves your nose just a little peaked. So, And then, of course, we drink the rum.
We should
have a sip here.
Cheers.
It's oily, smooth.
It is very, very smooth.
Viscous.
There's a kind of a syrupy nature to it, which makes sense, obviously. We're talking about rum.
Nice tongue coating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like, I want you, dear listener, to imagine that your most comfortable, classy smoking chair, and you're sitting back with your favorite pipe. Your favorite pipe tobacco. We'll talk about what should be smoking, but like just imagine that. Like when you have that image of yourself doing this in the smoking chair and that brandy-esque style sniffer glass type deal.
Yeah.
Like this is what you want in that glass. Like it is that good. Like it is like almost, I feel like this was tailor made for a Squire Select.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great. It really is. There's a tropical fruit element to it that's apparent. You know, it's that oily, smooth, viscous molasses flavor that's very tasty.
It's kind of one of those. It's sweet, but like the molassesy nature of it is it holds it back.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's not overly sweet or anything of that nature.
It's almost cut.
And
that spice there is really nice. Of course, we're talking more of a kind of that baking spice that, you know, makes the back of your tongue tingle a little bit and the roof of your mouth. So
it's essentially begging.
Yeah.
John David. It is begging to be paired with a pipe tobacco. It is. No, I mean, like, it is begging to be paired with a pipe tobacco.
I had fun with this. You know, the finish on this particular tobacco, I'm sorry, this particular rum, the finish on this, you get vanilla, but you get a smokiness that's there.
Yep.
Almost similar, like a mild scotch or, you know, something that's just got...
On the back end.
We talked about mezcal, you know, earlier.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that. kind of smoky, you know, essence that's there. And I actually enjoyed this particularly on a couple cubes of ice. Like I drank several sips of it straight, and then
diluted yours with ice.
I put a couple cubes in mine, and that made it even better.
See, I'm looking at our glasses. I'm seeing we're about the same stage. I didn't realize you had diluted yours with ice. I felt for science that I should probably just drink it straight.
Well, I've done both, so you do whatever helps you sleep at night.
No, I'm the safety,
which I imagine this will help you sleep tonight.
This will help me sleep very well tonight. No, I'm the control. I'm the control. That's what it is, right?
You have the control.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm married to science. I know what I'm talking about.
Right. So anyway, we are pairing this with something that's different, interesting. We haven't talked about this tobacco in quite a while. And it's something that, I think kind of leads me into Miami a little bit, but I think goes well with this particular spirit. We're pairing this today with Cornell and Deal Mad Fiddler Flake. Cornell and Deal, you know, came out with the Elder Ones series a couple years ago. They've got all these kind of Lovecraftian, different tobaccos that are out there with these, fun graphics and artwork. This Mad Fiddler Flake is one of the more popular ones that we've seen from that line.
Wow, I guess I just don't know Lovecraft enough to know what the reference is there.
And I don't either, to be honest with you. But Black Cavendish Cigar Leaf, which is the primary player here in the blend, Perique and Virginia. This is a tobacco.
Child of cousins.
Well, child of cousins. Incredible.
Royal. Well, we'll just say royal. And royal. From now on, y'all know what we talk
Queen
about.
Queen Victoria,
by
that. Habsburg jar, right. All that stuff. Okay. All right.
Regal tobacco.
Regal. Right. So anyway, you've got an incense flavor here that I think pairs nicely with the spiciness of the rum. The tobacco is spicy. There's a woodiness to it. But the cigar leaf is the major player. And cigar leaf has a thick smokiness to it. It's a powerful tobacco. It's got an earthy depth that I think pairs well with the sweetness of this particular rum. Yeah, I think it's a good pairing. So it also coats the tongue nicely. And I really, everything from Cornell and Deal is great, but the Elder One series is really impressive. And I think this is one of those tobaccos that kind of shines. So Mad Fiddler Flake pairing with the Ron Pampero Anniversario rum.
Right. No, that's a fantastic pairing. I like where your head's at. Like, it fits that imagery, that just that smokiness that you kind of really want present there. All right. Now, this is interesting, y'all. So, as you know, we're doing something different this year, and we may continue on doing this from year, or maybe we'll do something different next year, but we're taking what we have right now, and we're introducing new flavor profiles to completely change the drinking experience and thus completely change what's appropriate to pair it.
The pairing, yeah.
Now, in this, originally, like we mentioned before, we kind of went with the mojito, and we decided that this is not a rum to mojito. It will not mojito. You know what I mean? Like, this is not...
I can't... And again, I'm not a cocktail expert. I'm not someone that's tried to make a mojito at home, but I can't imagine using a rum like this in a mojito.
Exactly. So it'd be inappropriate to do so. And so while we're there, I was actually thinking, like, while you don't typically go for like a spiced rum in a daiquiri, I bet this would actually make for a pretty interesting daiquiri. So how familiar are you with daiquiris?
Like, well, not.
Better
not,
question. Not.
When I think of daiquiris.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So when I think of daiquiris, I think of a frozen strawberry daiquiri
right. That
someone pours out of a slushy machine at, my favorite Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, okay, great.
That's what I think of.
And I bet that's probably true for most of the uninitiated of our listeners. So all of you who have that mindset, or rather that image that comes to mind,
right. Toss
it out.
Just throw that out.
We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the classic daiquiri of like our if we think about cocktail history and kind of the origins of what a daiquiri actually is, it is a very simple cocktail drink. It is equal parts lime juice, equal parts simple syrup, and equal parts spirit, or more specifically, rum.
Okay.
And so we are actually having a classic daiquiri, the original daiquiri in many respects. Not that fruity whatever off the side, thing that it is. Not there's anything wrong with that. I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's not what we're doing today.
Honestly, I'm so surprised by that as you're sitting here describing what a classic daiquiri cocktail is.
Yeah.
I'm fact checking you. This is news to me, because when you say daiquiri, I'm like, no, it's that, silly little pansy drink you get with the umbrella at the bar that actually I would really like. And I would order that while my wife orders, like, you know, Johnny Walker Neat.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Our wives over here with our old fashions and we're like,
right,
where
you got our pina colada. But daiquiri believed to have originated in Cuba. Rum, lime juice, simple syrup with ice and serve. And that is, that's news to me.
Yeah, man. That's it right there. And yeah. I mean, like, so this has been like a really kind of fun space to explore because it does allow for you to enjoy some more premium rums in a cocktail fashion. And so I was
without diluting it too bad.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean? You still get to taste the essence of the premium liqueur, liquor.
So in this case, especially when you're talking about a bunch of like equal parts, right? They're all coming together to make the drink.
Right.
There's not one that's supposed to overpower the other. They're all supposed to play off each other. But at the same time, one of the things you get, like, that's going to be the case in kind of a classic daiquiri is the fruit, is in this case the lime that does kind of make a pretty, you know, solid statement in it. So anyway, let's take a sip. Cheers.
It's so good.
Yeah. Refreshing. This is, I mean, sitting on a beach, this puts a different perspective on that concept of sipping a daiquiri on the beach, right?
It does. And also really just trying this, I can't believe it's the same spirit. Mm-hmm. I can't. It
game changer.
Yeah, I really can't. It's hard for me to think that this is the same spirit of as we just had before.
Yeah.
Equally as good, very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, you know, it's a cocktail you can make at home, and it's very, very simple. I highly suggest, again, especially for those of you who kind of have just like a frozen concept in your head. By the way, same thing with a margarita, except with tequila as opposed to, there's different elements there. I mean, so it's not the exact same as a margarita.
Yeah.
At the same thing, like, a lot of like what we think of in frozen beverages have classic origins that, believe it or not, we didn't always have frozen, you know, ice makers.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Actually. You know
sure.
I mean? So anyway, all that to say, we're dealing with a completely transformed drink here.
It's acidic. Obviously,
also
it's
sweet.
Obviously, it's sweet. I mean, we're talking simple syrup and, you know, spiced rum, but it's not cloying. It's sweet and refreshing.
It's refreshing.
I didn't think a rum this dark and spicy could be refreshing like that.
I'm so glad.
And this is good, Bo.
Yeah.
This is good. I give you a point for this.
I know, I'm all about it, man. I love it when you're like, what? And you forget that I know things because we're always talking about like your area of expertise.
Things that, right. It's like, wait, Bo knows something?
Uh-huh. All right. So, but that being said, we're about to flip this really quick.
Yeah. So Bo knows something and Bo made this cocktail and someone gave Bo permission to make his own pairing.
All right, y'all, let me go ahead and apologize in advance here.
I'm excited about this. I think it's actually pretty great.
I think it's fun. So, like, you know, oftentimes we come to you as the expert. You are kind of the master craftsman here, and you're the one with the palette, like, of the gods that is, like, presenting us with appropriate...
Every time Bo talks like this, I get a promotion. Go ahead.
And so, like, you know, that's at play here. But because you aren't as familiar with this cocktail, this version of this cocktail, we thought it'd be interesting as a fun thing for me to actually attempt a pairing.
Bo, pick a pipe tobacco?
I know.
To pair with a drink?
I know. I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie. I'm nervous.
No, that's good. So this is a first.
I think it may be, actually. And so
this is a first.
So I'm thinking about this cocktail and, you know, like I said, while there's a lot of different things, elements at play, one of the things that is very, I would say that kind of makes this a daiquiri is the lime kind of as a feature in this drink. Again, it's not overly sour or anything of that nature. It's very refreshing, but that's there. And so I was trying to kind of think about that kind of lime with the sweetness type of profile and kind of what connects with it. And you're thinking about like a various assortment of kind of like fruit flavors and that sort of thing. On top of that, I really like, I know a lot of times you'll like pick pairings where there's a lot of like, oh, it's got this flavor profile, so this is going to ride right alongside it. And I'm always shocked because I always think like, oh, I would think you'd kind of go with something different that would kind of like counterbalance that or something like that.
Right.
And so I wanted to think of a blend that had something like of a sweet, but also kind of a spicy that are kind of counterplaying with each other, while also a good healthy kind of fruit notes that are all involved as well. And hey, we're on the coast, so it better have some Perique. I went with plum pudding. I went with plum pudding from the Seattle Pipe Club.
Yeah.
Now, I'm nervous about how you feel about this pairing. Now that you've actually had the cocktail.
No, and like, it's interesting to me because you did go with plum pudding.
I did.
And it's a Balkan blend.
Yeah.
And Balkan blends aren't typically known for their sweetness, but this does have some Black Cavendish in it.
Right.
And so it's the smoothness of that.
See, and I'm not thinking about it from a scientist standpoint. I'm just thinking, like, the last time I smoked plum pudding, you know, like, kind of the things.
You would think it'd go well with the... And again, when we talk about smoke from a pipe is more alkaline. We're drinking an acidic, you know, lime-based kind of drink here. And so, you know, those two things are going to kind of counterbalance a little bit, right? And point each other in that direction. Yeah, Bo, I mean, you get the natural sweetness from the Virginias. You got Perique that obviously has its own spice and pepper to it. Yeah, I think this is fun.
I did it. I did the thing.
I look forward to trying it. Okay. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great. Yeah.
All right. I'm very
Black
curious.
Black Cavendish, of course, oily Latakia. That Latakia that's got a nice depth to it that adds some body to any tobacco, but leaves a nice tongue coating. You know, I think this is good. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I feel so good.
He did so good.
Yeah, I want to hear from our listeners though if y'all think that's a good pairing or not. But like I said, I think that a lot of our listeners may need to first make this version of the cocktail so that they know what's up with it
and kind of appreciate it. Yeah,
and appreciate
really
it.
Really good, man. Really well done.
All right, there you go. The classic daiquiri made with a Pampero and a Versario and paired with plum pudding for the daiquiri. And
Cornell Deal Mad Fiddler Flake.
For the spirit.
For the spirit by itself. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Delicious. Listen, there's something about enjoying some spirits that really make me feel... You ever feel like a little smarter after you've had a little something? Like, you know what I mean?
If I do, it's probably on accident, but... Yeah.
No. It's like your wisdom level. What is it? In vito veritas,
perceived
right?
Perceived wisdom.
Out of wine comes truth. You're ready to take on the world's mightiest questions. And, you know, speaking of the mightiest questions, lately our friends at Missouri Meerschaum have been presenting some mighty questions every Tuesday for Cobb Tuesday.
That's right. On this coming Tuesday, be sure to go to Missouri Meerschaum's Facebook page. They're going to have a trivia question that day that you can answer. They're going to pick the winners of that answer, and then the final winner will get a gift card to Missouri Meerschaum's website. And so really exciting. Check that out every Tuesday for the coming few weeks here, and just be sure to participate in their Cobb Tuesday trivia question of the week, and that'll be exciting.
Oh man, I'm excited to hear from our listeners who participate. You know, if y'all win, let us know.
Yeah, we want to know.
We want to know. We want to know. We want to know that, like, and let them know, like, oh, I won. And
it's
I was
one of our guys. That
that's right. We want to cheer you on.
Right. I always love it when that's the case.
It's one of our guys.
Yeah.
Y'all let them know, and we'll let them know. You'll let him know.
We're like the cheerleader section.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah,
we want
a CSR listener.
Is this a conflict of interest? We're sending our guys in to win this competition.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, they're going to win it for themselves, but they're one of us.
Cobb Tuesday.
Ow!
Big thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in from David. He said, I recently picked up a new pipe at the Country Squire. What? And I'm loving it. All right. David, local or maybe traveler? We don't know. Like sipping good bourbon, smoking a pipe seems like a good opportunity for enjoying good fellowship with friends. So after buying my pipe, I grabbed a few Missouri Meerschaum pipes so that I could share my new favorite pastime. But this brings up an etiquette question. Oh, this is good. If I'm sharing bourbon with a friend, I pour it in a clean but obviously used glass. If I'm letting a friend smoke a pipe, is it theirs forever? Or is it customary to clean it up and let another smoke it? COVID and microbiology aside, I'm just curious about standard etiquette, and I'm open to all the harassment I may deserve for asking a new guy a question like this. I've been enjoying my new briar pipe, the cob I kept for myself and the show. Thank y'all for the helpful and enjoyable content y'all put out. And again, this is coming from David. David, great question.
This really is a great question.
Yes.
And this is a very personal question. A pipe is something that's incredibly intimate. You're putting it in your mouth and slobbering all over it as you consume your favorite tobaccos. You know, the mouthpiece is something that, you know, gets very acquainted with your teeth and your tongue and all that. And so this, you know, depends on who you're with, who your friends are, and it's a judgment call. Typically, if you're in a group of people, you know, folks are not just going to share their pipe back and forth. Having said that, working as a blender, I have very regularly with a few of my employees in the past swapped pipes back and forth as we're trying to taste blends that we're working on.
Gross.
Yeah. And it is kind of gross, but it's also just kind of part of the here. I tried this spoon. You try the spoon.
Right.
You
know,
the soup or the broth or whatever it is. And so, you know, a lot of times that does happen in my context, being on our side of the counter. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you, of course, remember Caleb Crawford, who is a dear friend of mine.
Caleb the intern, yeah.
Caleb the intern, you know, probably the best tobacco blender I've ever hired at the Squire, and is still doing some work for us occasionally, very talented and a dear friend. But Caleb and I would swap pipes, you know, back and forth all the time. Man, I just put this together, or I've let it sit for a couple of days. Try this out. Okay, now try this one out. You know, and so that might gross a few people out, but that's just kind of what we did. What a lot of folks do is they'll leave some pipes that have been cleaned, either with rubbing alcohol or with a pipe sweetener, even, which is just that little alcohol mint solution. Yep. And if you'll just swab that out after, you know, every smoke, you can let people use a pipe. You know, it's a, hey, you can use my pipe. It's been cleaned up. Here it is. And in a personal setting with folks you know well, that is pretty common to happen. You know, having said that, you're probably not going to go to a pipe shop and you know, oh, you didn't bring a pipe. Well, here, just use my pipe. And I mean, that's happened before. I've seen it happen. But there again, it's just a, you know, it's a personal preference thing. How well do you know the person you're with? And would they find it weird? And, you know, and if they do find it weird, can you deal with the fact that they know that they think it's weird? I don't know. It's just, you know, I've seen folks kind of all over the map. I, you know folks that, you know, won't even get near each other's, you know, drink or whatever. So it just kind of goes in the same category. But yeah, we do have folks that will keep pipes around that have been kind of cleaned. And then those pipes can be used for guests if they come around. And, you know, you could certainly give it to them. It could be their forever pipe if you want it to be. But it's also just nice to have a house pipe around.
Yeah.
It's been kind of cleaned up. We think about the old tavern pipes from, you know, the days of yore, when they would tear off the end of the stem as the pipe, you know, would continue to get used. And so, you know, there's a precedent for pipes being used over and over like that. So yeah, it's a personal preference. You just have to kind of make it up as you go along.
I can tell you, for me, I generally keep a good stock of Missouri Meerschaum pipes and like, you know, yeah, kind of like, you know, and then they're all, you know, good quality pipes from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. But typically I don't keep, like, I'll keep like kind of the, you know, the more affordable of the bunch, you know, like for this pure, yeah, standard reason of like, if I've got somebody over, if I want to like, you know, yeah, introduce them to the pipe, and I always give them the pipe. And that's the reason why I like to keep like a good bushel of Missouri Meerschaum pipes around.
Right.
Is for that reason specifically. Even if they don't necessarily like, ah, you know, I don't think it's for me. It's like, ah, well, you know what? Hang on to the pipe.
Yeah,
you know,
just keep it.
Just keep it. There's no reason, like, at that, I mean, they're super, super affordable. There's like, that, just not a whole lot of reason not to do that. It just depends on who you are. As Bo from the Country Squire, from Country Squire Radio, I, you know, people come over and they want to smoke a pipe. And they don't always, yeah, have, like, so, like,
course,
I know.
And they might not have one, but they're like, well, Bo's got one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if it's a fairly regular occurrence that I know that I'll be introducing people to pipe smoking for the first time.
Right.
For me, it makes sense just to keep a bunch of them. I don't think there's anything wrong with washing them and reusing or anything like that.
Yeah.
I remember, I think
sterilizing,
it was
sterilizing, cleaning them up.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but I remember super early on in my pipe journey when I was like looking into estate pipes and like even just becoming aware of the concept of estate pipes, I was initially grossed out by the concept of an estate pipe
because, yeah,
you,
sure,
have all of these pipes, all of them presumably used.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that seems gross. And then somebody, maybe it was you, it might've been a YouTuber, I don't know who, but they basically said, you go to a restaurant, you eat with a fork. You don't think that other people have eaten with that fork? You go to a hotel, you sleep in a bed. You don't think other people slept in that bed? Use those sheets? Like, you know, like,
exactly. It's true though.
Yeah. And so it's one of those situations where it's like, huh. And I think it's one, I think it's because I'm just throwing this out there. I think sometimes we associate the pipe more with a straw than a spoon. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And,
yeah,
we tend to think of straws as disposable. Now, like at our house, we've got disposable straws, but we also have like metal straws.
Yeah.
Yeah, we use metal straws for like shakes and that sort of thing. But then we end up using like disposables if we're having like a big party or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, but the straw is still kind of considered you used it, so we're not going to wash it. That's ridiculous. Mm. It's done. It's to be, you know, discarded, or, you know, even then you wouldn't say now it's yours. You just don't see it again. So I think that we need to kind of recognize the pipe as the utensil that it is and realize it is okay to wash.
It's meant to be clean. Or, yeah. Obviously we're not talking about putting it in the dishwasher.
No, of course not.
It's okay to be cleaned and then used by someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly fine. If it's fine from an estate pipe, it's fine for your guest.
Yeah.
That being said, for me personally, I do like to just have a couple of fresh Missouri Meerschaums on hand
you can send them home as a kind of a treat.
Exactly.
Yeah, for someone.
Even if they don't like it, like, you know, it's one of those things like they can keep it as a keepsake and remember the special time we all shared.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's good. But anyway, great question, David. Really, really great question. Hope this was helpful. If you got some questions for the show, send them in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Jones. Ow. All right, man. So we've been drinking. Let's talk about weaponry.
Weaponry?
I don't know. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
This is the melee edition of Country Squire Radio.
Okay.
Or the quick fire questions.
The melee edition.
Yeah. You know what melee is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Melee blunts.
We're going to hit something.
We're going to hit something. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Sword versus mace.
Sword.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know why.
I mean, it's iconic. If you're just like looking at like an imagery, but it does seem like a mace would be more like, you come at me with the sword, I come at with your mace, I bash the mace out of the way, and then I hit you real quick.
Yeah.
You'd have to cut off my arm with the mace in order to defend yourself.
To make, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with the sword.
I'm going to go with sword too. It's just cooler. Yeah. I was trying to give the mace its heyday, but yeah. All right, mace versus flail.
What's a flail?
Okay, so a flail is like a, like, you know what a mace is, right? Like, yeah, a stick and you got like a ball thing on it.
Right.
The flail is like where the ball is hanging from a chain.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably go with the flail.
Yeah, the flail looks cooler, but I'd probably kill myself with a flail. I'm going mace in this direction. All right, flail versus axe.
Axe.
Yeah.
I think axe.
A dwarven warrior with his axe.
I think I could do more damage with the axe.
And my axe.
I think I'd be a little more accurate and a little less likely to hurt myself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would use a flail and you would die. Like, that's just, let's just be real.
Yeah.
It's like nunchucks. You see those people with these nunchucks, and you know if you ever tried that, you'd kill yourself?
Right.
You'd be, like, unconscious instantly. Like, not even, like, even before you twirled it, you just touched it, and somehow you're unconscious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's, like, flail, but dead. And then finally, axe versus hammer.
Like a Thor hammer?
It could be a Thor hammer, or like a long war hammer type situation.
Yeah. I'll go with the hammer. Yeah.
I think it'd be easier to wield, right?
I'll go with the hammer. It just seems more versatile.
Yeah. A fine weapon for a king. It can build or destroy.
Yeah.
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 No, that's good. All right. Okay. Very, very. Yeah, we'll go with hammer. I'm with you on that one. There you go. That's melee edition.
Oh, that's great. Melee edition of quickfire questions.
That's right. Yeah. the perfect thing for when you've been drinking rum.
Yeah.
Weapons that you hit things with.
Yeah.
Why not? don't melee and drink. Anyway, if you got quickfire questions for us, send them in the show at countrysquireradio.com.
Oh, man.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback coming in from Tom from the UK, otherwise known as UK Tom.
Hi, Bo and John David. Tom King here.
Let me read this one.
No, this is from UK. This is appropriate.
Okay.
Okay, fine. You do it.
We want Tom to still like us.
Baron John David.
He's from the UK. He could be Welsh. He could be Scottish. He could be from the Isle of Jersey.
Oh, hi, Baron JD. Tom King here.
Tom King here. As always, I'm loving Country Squire Radio.
Up until just this moment.
You keep me entertained every week. Just wanted to share a little story of how y'all inspired me this week. Hearing Bo's passion for gumbo.
Yes, sir.
I looked it up as it's not a meal that we have here in England. Mm. After smoking my Missouri Meerschaum cob, I headed to the kitchen to make a roux. A while later, and I had a dish which kind of resembled gumbo.
Mm.
Enjoying my meal with a pipe of Virginia tobacco and some Woodford Reserve rye.
Ooh.
Also inspired by your Squire Select episodes.
Yeah.
I bought a cigar, a Camoy's pipe, and some Gay with Cabbies mixture, which you're lucky to find the Gay with Cabbies mixture. I have also made a pipe Instagram called Briar and Shire.
Hey.
Leaf to share my journey into the pipe. You guys rock. Thanks for always being the inspiration, your friend in the UK, and that's Tom.
Tom.
So, Tom, thank you so much, man. We're so glad to hear from you, and glad you're able to find those cool ingredients and everything over in your neck of the woods. And yeah, that's wonderful. I hope you enjoyed it.
All right, Tom, since you're a Country Squire Radio listener, I'm going to try to help you out here, okay, bud? So gumbo, like looking for gumbo recipes online, especially on YouTube, is a dangerous business. I cannot tell you how many trash cooks there are thinking that they're making gumbo and they're not. And it's just one of these situations where you can't trust anything. Like, you can't trust anything that's out there when it comes to gumbo. And this is like a highly like fighting words in our neck of the woods, right?
Yeah, sure.
I remember one year, I think it was like to promote Princess and the Frog. Walt Disney did like a promotion type deal where they made like one of those, you know, those like tasty videos, like top down camera where they're like making food.
Oh, they're
like,
cooking something.
Yeah, they're cooking
preparing some food. Yeah.
Right. So they did one of those, but they did it for gumbo. You know what these mouse mother, you know what they did? you know what these, you know, Donald Duckin people did?
Precious Disney folk. What did they do, Bo?
They put kale in their gumbo.
Oh my God.
They put kale in there. And I love Disney. Disney's great, but they put kale in their gumbo.
That's disgusting.
Them's is like, no, you hashtag canceled right there. Like, that is ridiculous.
Right.
So, and then on top of that, too, one of the biggest tricks with all of this is getting the roux right.
Yeah.
And so...
That's what I've never made gumbo, but that's what people always, you know, complain about is like, the roux is always the hardest part.
That's what you see. That's what you should be complaining about is the roux.
Right.
That's the thing where the war happens. We all talk about the roux. Everybody's got the different philosophies and that sort of thing. Most people are just trash because they don't have time to like do it right. And Disney blew right past that and just threw kale in and just like the entire internet was like, what is wrong with you?
Probably shoved it in the microwave.
That was awful. Yeah. It was absolutely terrible. And it was a disgrace. You can't put your movie and set it in New Orleans with a chef, with like a chef who owns a restaurant in the French Quarter, and then say that they're out here serving kale in their gumbo. It's ridiculous. Anyway, all that to say, Tom.
Bo didn't do anything but just get really angry and dissuade you from probably ever looking at another gumbo restaurant.
Just the opposite, actually. I want to set Tom up right, because like, think about this. This is a unique opportunity. Like, you know, how often do somebody get to invade the UK? We could actually go to the UK and invade them with our gumbo. We could actually bring our like quality ingredients and educate like an entire grouping in UK right now by teaching them the proper way to make gumbo. This is a fantastic opportunity.
It sounds like a new podcast.
Well, maybe.
That doesn't include me.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, point is equal parts fat, equal parts flour. You got to stir it around. You got to keep it moving. It's going to take you about 30 to 45 minutes before you can actually start adding anything else in there. So anybody that tells you that you just, you know, oh, you just pour some water and do that. No, that's not how you do this. Like, it's going to take some time. You're going to want a customized spoon, a roux spoon that has a flat surface so that you're constantly moving that roux on the bottom so it doesn't stick too long or get burnt or anything like that. And just be prepared, man. Just be prepared. Email me, Tom. I'm going to hook you up. I'm serious. Email me. Next week, I'll be back in Houston and we'll actually have another recording retreat for another show. And we've got a tradition with that particular group where if it's the recording retreat is happening in your hometown, you make food for everybody.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah. So I'll be making my duck oyster gumbo. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I finally got to a place with that recipe where I feel like I'm ready to share it with other people, and I'm excited for it.
Good.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a big unveiling and kind of get some people out of the family to try it and get some legit feedback. So
don't forget the kale.
Good night. Oh.
How can they follow us, Bo?
They can do they can not put kale in their gumbo. That's the thing. No, of course, we do want to hear from y'all's feedback. Let us know. You can follow us on the Twitters. You can follow John David at John David Cole. You can follow the shop at _CountrySquire. You can follow the show at Squire Radio. You can also send us your feedback over email, show@CountrySquireRadio.com. Hey, you know what's awesome? Getting iTunes reviews from our wonderful listeners. If you enjoy this show,
love that.
Oh, so this is just the best. Head over to iTunes and write us a review. It doesn't cost you a dime to do, and it goes a long way to help support the show. But if you're able to support the show with a few dimes or more, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. All right. Well, there you go, man.
Dude, I had fun.
I had rum. I had fun. And you know what rhymes with fun?
Right. Canada or whatever. Yeah.
Rum.
That's right. Man, great. I had fun, man. It's really good. I'm glad I learned what a proper daiquiri is. It tastes great.
I know. This is what I love about a lot of, you know, some of these newer episodes and everything is I get a chance to educate you.
Yeah.
And also show you I'm not just like an idiot over here asking dumb questions. When I'm in your house, that's the case. But sometimes you get to step into my house. Yeah. I like it. Even though like immediately then I go and pair it with a pipe tobacco and now I'm nervous as all get out. Anyway, man. Hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother. Sorry, last week I visited J.J. Fox in London.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
After hearing you mention it on an older episode, I bought a car. I'm sorry.
Why would he buy a car at J.J. Fox? Put that one in at the end. That'll be a fun little cookie Easter egg at the end.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.